Chapter 32. Patricia Tallman asked Celeste to arrange time for her to attend a holiday breakfast. Celeste responded that of course she would make time. Patricia was having a good day. She was up and dressed in her daily priestly garb and collar. She liked keeping the arrangement of things social and casual with underlying formality. Patricia's demeanor no longer showed a twinkle in her eye, but sometimes there were these signals that Celeste had seen from her mouth. Celeste had learned to assess her people as she spoke with them. She found the most successful approach was just letting people get to know her. Patricia had become more than one of Celeste's people. At this breakfast, Celeste, it would surely be nice if you and I were able to determine what on earth is going to happen with Jack Spong. Celeste said, I have heard a few things from Duane, but his thoughts about everything are just so dark now. It colors how he feels. Celeste and Patricia were sitting in the chapel. When she was able, it was where Patricia spent a good deal of her time. Celeste was a frequent visitor. Duane thinks that Jack is being forced out, and that the conservative bishops have had enough of his ideas and actions. They will threaten to publicly enforce their beliefs as being more central and keeping with Christianity. Patricia grinned. I have no doubt that Bishop Spong has anticipated that. Here's where the dark part comes. Duane thinks that Jack is eligible for retirement and has had enough. I'm not sure if he's talking about Jack or himself there. A calling is a strange thing, Celeste. Patricia spoke from the wisdom of her experience. You are the only person who knows when you hear it, and if it stops, we should say a prayer that Duane can hear his again. They held hands and prayed quietly in the chapel. Now, said Patricia, Bob McElroy is just a great big huggable bear of a man, isn't he? Patricia leaned in and almost giggled with Celeste, who felt herself wanting to giggle a little, too. But he holds all of his cards very close to his chest. Zinn Walsh will want to gossip, said Celeste. One of the roles that Zinn played was that he was the power of attorney for an ever-steady number of the older female residents. He was compensated for this service of balancing their checkbooks and distributing their assets for a fee. His wife, Zoe, was an accountant. They supplemented their income with these proceeds. Yes, said Patricia with some sarcasm. Do see what we can get out of Zim Walsh, bless his heart. Then she gave her private smile. She was from Virginia, and wondered if people from New Jersey would ever grow to understand the real nuance of that expression. We should also talk with Bishop McElroy. After break, Heidi Kleiss asked to see Celeste in her office. I think that you should start writing another monthly report to me, Celeste. Celeste had her pad and pencil. I'd like a regular report on your meetings with the clergy. Celeste was startled. Which ones? Heidi looked at her with an incredulous expression. Well, how many are there? Clergy is represented on a lot of the committees that I am on, Mrs. Kleiss. I don't mean those necessarily, said Heidi. But your name keeps coming up at board meetings, and it is usually mentioned by the representatives from the clergy. Well, said Celeste, I am on the Chamber of Commerce. I am a member of the Ethics Committee. I meet regularly with them when planning activities and events, so I'm not sure what you are asking me to write. I see, said Heidi. Well, Just forget about it then. That's all. Celeste went back to her office a bit puzzled, but definitely not forgetting about it.